All right, welcome everybody. It is Sunday, July 14, 2019, and we are in our series, The Hallelujah Life. Our message today is People Who Consistently Praise. This is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Lord, we do rejoice in you today, and you have made us glad. And we thank you, Lord, that the lion has prevailed, the lamb was slain, and we give you the praise and the glory for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on behalf of those for whom he died. And Lord God, we thank you that we can meet together here have good Christian fellowship and be in your midst. For where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst, Lord. And so we ask your blessing upon this time, that you would, that your Holy Spirit would come and open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, open the eyes of our hearts to receive, Lord. For we want to be those who understand. And so, God, we ask for that understanding. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Those who consistently praise, or people who consistently praise, blessings flow to those, to people who consistently praise. We can learn some things by tracing some highlights from, I should really say, the history of the tribe of Judah. So we're just going to remember briefly how the story goes. We are not going to tell the story in full detail. You know, you can look it up or read it for yourself. Jacob worked for Laban in what Pastor Jim called the Laban School of Business. The Laban School of Business. Laban wasn't, you know, the best boss. Let's put it that way. So he called it the Laban School of Business. Jacob thought he was working to be the husband of Rachel, but instead of Rachel, her sister Leah was the one who shared the tent with Jacob. It was trickery. But Leah was the oldest, so we're, you know, anyway. Laban made Jacob work an additional 7 years in order to have Rachel as his wife. During those 7 years, several children were born to Leah. First came Reuben. Leah declared, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." Then came Simeon, quote, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this son too." Then came Levi, upon whose birth Leah said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Three sons in less than 7 years. During those years, Leah cried out to be loved, to have a sense of belonging. Her relationship with Jacob was, let's just say, technical, legal, and perfunctory. Then Leah was pregnant again. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but when the fourth son was born, Leah called him Judah, which means praise. Judah lived out the meaning of his name. When Jacob lay dying, he spoke over each son prophetically. That was kind of a lot of what a part of their inheritance was, this prophetic word that would go out over them. Okay, I want to read Genesis 49, verses 8 to 10. Look at that, please.
"Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who will rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And to him shall be the obedience of the people."
Okay, Jesus Christ was of Judah, of the tribe of Judah. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, destined to walk in the anointing of kings, of king, priest, and prophet. Jesus was sent by the Father out of the Father's love. He is the first of a kind, a prototype, first of a kind, of a prototype of a new humanity, inasmuch as he is the Word made flesh, God in flesh appearing. He is the preeminent one and worthy of our worship. People who consistently praise receive benefits, and we're going to name just some of them. Just some. Number one, people who praise enjoy prominence. Praise brings prominence. We praise God, and it brings prominence as a benefit. Praise glorifies and exalts God. God raises up the one who praises him. Praises him. There might be even a lesser thing when we, you know, praise other people. They do, when they do a good job or whatever. It's good. The prominence will be more than local. Enemies are overcome by the power of praise. Currently, now we have a president who knows this, because when he can be strong on one end, you know, cutting in a way, but on the other, he uses a lot of praise to people. They've done a good job, or he kind of like rewards them with praise when they do something right in his eyes. And
sometimes the carrot is soon followed by the stick, and sometimes the stick is quickly followed
by the carrot. Yeah.
That's how he is.
That's how our current president is. Enemies are overcome by the power of praise. None will dare to rouse the one who praises. So let's read Genesis 49 verse 9 again.
Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who will rouse him?
Oh, keep going.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people.
Okay, the scepter did not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. People who praise prevail. People who praise prevail. We're talking about praising God. Rulership is part of the inheritance. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, ruler over the kings of the earth. Jesus rules and reigns. He lives in the power of an endless life. God's people live in union, in what's called a vital spiritual union, with Jesus Christ, who is of the tribe of Judah. So we want to get that into our spirit, deep inside where we live. Number two, people who praise consistently are prepared for worship. Now, this is important, because what do they do in heaven?
Worship.
Worship. So if you don't like worshiping now, heaven might not be so heavenly to you, if that's your destiny. Seriously, because that's what they're doing. That's what they're all doing. It's just this worship going on, continuous worship. They made it. But
it's being worshipped.
Yeah. But if we're not, let's just say it's better to be doing that now, because what we do here on earth does affect our eternal foreverness or whatever. All right. Worship is then not a now and whenever thing. Let's read Numbers 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2.
And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard beside the emblems of his father's house. They shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting.
Okay, Judah's tribe was located closest to the entering in of the tabernacle courtyard on the east side. It was the first tribe to see the rising of the sun. Worship is to be our delight. Hope dawns first for those who praise, ending nights of despair. And we're told from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, God's name is to
be praised.
All right. Praise places us within sight of prosperity. But when praise is compromised, trouble begins. When this happens, we're to learn from the life of King Jehoshaphat, a king of Judah, and keep seeking Jehoshaphat kept seeking the hand of God upon him. That's from 2 Chronicles chapters 19 and 20, and I'm not going to read all of those that to you, but it's 2 Chronicles chapters 19 and 20. We can come out with victory. Jesus Christ has won the victory for us in salvation. The law of victory says, take your position, stand firm, or hold your position, stand firm, and you will see the salvation of your God. Now, this is for the long haul, and it's also in our lives. When we sometimes it's very difficult. We take a Christian stand, and that's our position. That could be on social things, on political things, all kinds of things, are the choices that we make. And we make those choices, and we will see the salvation of our God. Those choices are hard, and a lot of times there's consequences, and they're going to seem negative. But God will God will bless, and God will honor, and God will promote. And I'm thinking right now of certain Christian athletes and men and women who've taken positions, some even recently, because they are biblical and Christian positions, and these people have had very close relationships with God. And they took the position that they believed was right, and they had prayed about it, and they were going to take this position, and they were not going to compromise. And there were consequences, some serious consequences. But God, you might go through that, but God sits in the heavens and laughs, and he certainly has the last word. And
more like Chick-fil-A making a business.
Okay, Chick-fil-A.
God has seriously blessed every Chick-fil-A.
So what's the Chick-fil-A story today?
They do not open on Sundays.
All right, and they took a stand.
And they have maintained that stand for their employees and to honor God's word. And, they are, I think, number two behind McDonald's.
Yeah, it just came out there, the number two most profitable fast food restaurant chain in the world.
Wow.
And they're only open 6 days a week. And if you said that to anybody in the fast food business, they'd say that's impossible. But they figured out a way to do it and still honor God.
God
bless them.
Yeah,
but they took a lot of flack.
And also the owner, this was openly declared that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that's what started all the trouble. And
not being open 7 days a week, they got kicked out of a mall here locally in Fort Lauderdale.
Was it Galleria?
No, it's where the Target.
Anyway, they took a biblical stance as a corporation. And they sit firm, and God we've seen there a longer example of so many years maintaining that without compromise, even on Super Bowl Sunday. I see that as a huge testimony, because their party trays of nuggets would sell in abundance on Super Bowl Sunday, just that one day of chicken. tails for a party platter. And they, now, you want your chicken on Super Bowl Sunday, you buy it on Saturday and you reheat it yourself.
Mm-hmm. And people did
and,
it.
And people, you know, whatever. It's just God has honored their business and blessed them because they were faithful to Him.
I remember when they had that one dust-up thing, you know, Jim and I went to the Chick-fil-A. We're not regulars, but I mean, we went there on purpose to support Chick-fil-A.
Yep.
And of course, a news reporter had to come up just randomly, but with God's design, I suppose, and to see, you know, kind of like which side of the issue we were on. And of course, Jim just figured whatever, and he just outright said all this stuff and in support of Chick-fil-A and their position and why and everything. And of course, he wasn't intending to make the newspaper, but Jim was in the newspaper. They quoted him. And
awesome.
And we just, well, sometimes you can be on the the hate list, you know what I'm saying? And
I don't think it's hate list. You'd be surprised how many people.
No,
very quiet, but they support.
I had a spread done on me in the paper, and I got death threats and everything. Very serious.
No, she means you can end up on the hate list by speaking up for God. And
yeah, that's what I mean.
The hate list groups.
The hate list groups, right. Doesn't take much.
Besides the supporters.
But that's a good example. That's a good example of this law of victory, of take your position or hold your position, stand firm, and you will see the salvation of your God. Number three, praise provides access to the blessings of God. Now we want to hear Deuteronomy 33, verse 7.
And this he said of Judah, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and may you be a help against his enemies.
Okay. So if we put praise in there, hear, O Lord, the cry of praise and bring him to his people. With his own hands he defends his cause. Oh, be his help against his foes, unquote. So we can ask the Lord to hear the cry of praise. Praise defends the cause. We can ask the Lord to be praise's help against praise's enemy. Those who would be the enemy of us praising and glorifying God, not just in private worship. That's what they're trying to get us to. Well, you can do what you want in private. They want us to have freedom of worship instead of freedom of religion, which is another topic. Praise breaks through in prayer. It can bring our prayers in alignment with the will of God to the point of answered prayer. Praise draws us together as the assembly of the redeemed around the throne of God. Praise draws us together just as the assembly of the redeemed around the throne of God gathers in a common union to glorify God. There will be strength inasmuch as praise and strength are one of the same, like in Psalm 8, verse 2. I know that seemed weird, and we've talked about it before, but the word for praise is the word for strength.
Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger.
All right, but now turn over and see how Jesus quotes it in Matthew 21, verse 16.
And said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?
Okay, so Jesus, it's the same word, and in the Old Testament, it's translated strength, and when Jesus does it in Greek, he uses the word praise. But you can see it all through before. Trace the word, and you'll see praise and strength. So there's strength. We get stronger when we praise God and worship. Okay. Remember, praise just focuses on God, not thank you for this and thank you for that. It's a step beyond thanking God. We might start out by thanking, but that's not the same as worthy is the Lamb, the praise and worship. Worthy is the Lamb, this worship. Praise is focused on the person of God, the nature of God, and things like that.
Attributes.
There is protection for the one who praises. There is help against foes or enemies. Praise walls back as a defense against invaders. So praise can even become like a wall. With God's help, we can build a wall of praise around us as a stronghold. Just as the Bible talks about us being surrounded by the walls of salvation and the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be a firewall around us. And then the Bible talks about walls of salvation. And this is like a wall of praise, a fortress. The praise builds, our praise builds a wall of protection around us, a stronghold, as a defense against invaders. All right, number four, praise goes first in the fight. This is the power of it. Praise goes first. When years ago, when God gave me this whole thing for approaching Him and worship and all like that, it was that the church has it backwards. They start out with these songs of not of victory in Jesus, but how great I am. The focus on the people. I am so this, and I am so that, and a lot of I. Focus on the people. But our worship service, the audience for our worship in a worship service is God, not the people. Not the people. The worship team is to just be like cheerleaders to cheer us on to worship God. God is the focus of the worship service, not the people attending, like you do all this stuff. It's not entertainment, okay? For the people. Because I really think some worship entertains God. I don't know. I think when you see worship around the world and the great variety of it, and you, it's just so different from us in the United States that you could just go, boy, God has a lot of latitude with the languages and how they do, and it's pretty cool. A lot of places are very, it's neat, you know, to listen to how they worship. But some places, you know, they're actually able to sing in quarter tone in India and other, you know, places, and they worshiped in Ethiopia, like. Stomping. Yeah, stand up and do it.
They would all be wrong.
Look, this is how they did.
In their suits and stuff.
That looks like elephants.
Elephants, because
yeah,
guess
they
what?
Had them.
And it was a riot. I mean, it was pretty cool. Okay. That's how they did.
Elephants clear the brush.
Yep,
okay.
Get it all.
With their tusks. They
clear it up. So that's how they worship. And then they also jumped straight up and down.
In Brazil.
Straight up and down.
Oh, they still do that in the Brazilian churches here. I went to one. It's like, that's what they're doing. They're all jumping up and down,
yeah,
and singing. The place is practically shaking.
Yeah.
It's a whole, 1,000 people all jumping up and down and praising God.
I know.
Like,
you just,
wow.
When we were in India, they started jumping up and down when we were in India. And Jim had seen underneath the platform. And he told me, he said, do not go down and look under to see what is holding this structure up. Because he was just praying that it would hold with all the jumping up and down. I'm serious. It was so...
Now, my church in Nashville was like that. The choir would sing, you know, the song that we sing, Jesus is Alive. that song, and the whole choir were on riser, adults, and they were jumping. Oh. And I did the same thing because I've sung on risers before.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you miss, your ankle is shot.
And they are not that strong.
No, they're not.
With, you figure each person was a good 150 pounds a piece.
Oh.
An Indian versus American.
Okay. So, four, praise goes first in the fight. All right. It was the tribe of Judah in the book of Judges to whom the Lord said, Judah is to go, and that in first, praise is to go first. I have given the land into their hands, and that's from Judges chapter 1. Praise will continuously conquer, but when praise retreats, the enemy is emboldened. In Judges chapter 1, Judah overcame the Canaanites, but did not drive them out completely. They conquered when consistent, but moments of mixture brought weakness. The mixture, the compromising, brought weakness then. So what blessings come as we by grace consistently praise and presuppose the faithfulness of God to keep his promises as we proceed? What blessings come? A. Follow the Lord wholeheartedly. There is a price to pay, a negative one, for not being consistent, for compromising, for what? Wavering, for hip-hopping back and forth. Little B. Be kept alive. This is a blessing. Be kept alive to enjoy the Lord's blessings. He preserves your life to enjoy the Lord's blessings. See, receive the blessing of strength and vigor being preserved. He will preserve strength and vitality. And the D, anticipate high blessings. Anticipate high blessings. But the first one, follow the Lord wholeheartedly, because that's what it's always about. Follow the Lamb, follow the Lord. It's in supreme loyalty and attachment to Him. And it's the continuing to do something. In the Bible, a lot of the verbs that are translated, it mean consistently doing it, continually doing it. Like it's your way of life. It's so much of a habit that it's just how you live. And if you do that with the Lord, you're blessed, and there's a lot of things you don't suffer because of the life choices you've made to follow the Lord. Okay, and then little letter E, overcome, blessing. Overcome the enemy and, quote, possess the land. Take ownership of the land. Or ruling and reigning. That the rule and reign has to do with that. And the land, we're the land. There is a land, and there's a lot implied in land, but we're also the land. And we have to learn to rule and reign or get control over sin and the sin nature. And then we're blessed and we prosper. All these things. Caleb is an example of a representative of the tribe of Judah. So let's listen to Judges chapter 1, verses 19 and 20.
So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowlands, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak.
Okay, and then go on to Joshua 14, 6 to 12.
Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of the Kenzanite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me and Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then. So now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said."
Okay. And some exciting things go on around there in Judges and Joshua. Number five, people who praise better reflect the Lord who reigns. Victory accompanies praise. When we praise, we have God's ear, and we see his hand move. Praise creates an atmosphere in which God has freedom to move, to bring about his purposes, plans, and will. And I think we really saw that in Costa Rica, because something had happened, I remember, in this service, and the anointing was there, and the Holy Spirit was moving, and God was moving, and we were watching him work, and then all of a sudden it just started to fade, I guess you know, God, the Holy Spirit just retreats. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, whatever. Because the church was packed with people expecting something, but something had happened that grieved the Holy Spirit or whatever, and I could tell he was just withdrawing. So Joanna came up with the idea, or you were sitting like in the front row or something, and you decided what came into your mind was something about to call on the names of the Lord, and you were just going to sit there and praise the Lord and use the names of God. No, it was a different service. And you started calling on the names of God and just praising the Lord like that. And with her sitting there praising the Lord, then the Holy Spirit started to
come back
and we saw God work. But it was that had to be broken. Praise broke that attempt. Well, every place we were in Costa Rica, was the whole place, it was full of witchcraft. But it was very clear that here the effect, and then the praise bringing back,
there was a lot of
creating that atmosphere
on the warfare part. And I do remember it occurring to me of, we're spending a lot of verbal time telling stuff to get out and I'm like, that's not my personal, I don't know if anyone enjoys it, but I don't think anyone actually enjoys it, but that's not my inclination to tell things to get out. I'm like, well, I'm not even going to focus on you, I'm going to focus on him. But that was, I think, my...
Yeah, you came up with, if he's happy, we're happy.
Yeah, he'll take care of all of that, we're working on
keeping him happy,
praising his name.
Praising his name. All right, but we've seen this live and in action and how these things can roll out. The Lion-Lamb, we're almost finished. The Lion-Lamb heads the gathering of those who praise. The Lion of Judah stands in total triumph, fierce and mighty, able to break the seals and open the scroll described in Revelation 5. The Lamb took from the hand of God the scroll, the revelation of the redemptive plan of God. All right, we're going to read maybe more than once Revelation 5.
And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and seven golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.